This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Yes.
We are a film podcast inspired by the quid pro quo scene in Silence of the Lambs. Each month we pick a theme, and each week we pick a movie that falls within that theme. And we are in the final week of Allie Appreciation Month. I did High Spirits, appreciating myself.
Oh, I did Man on Fire, appreciating the man that helped bring Allie into the world.
Denzel? Oh. Oh, my dad.
Your dad. It's really for Lee.
I was like, I just pictured Denzel's pushing your dad's backside a little bit.
I was like, wait, is Denzel my father?
He's like, I'm going to
He slapped your dad on the ass one
thank
night.
God, he isn't.
Nah, he was the one that helped deliver you. He's like, come on, Cinder, you got to push now.
Major dad. Oh, my mother would have been so happy. She loves Denzel. Matt, what did you do?
I did Burn After Reading.
Yes.
Better than ever. And so today's going to be Guido's pick, but before we get to your pick, Guido, also at the end of the episode, we will rank all four movies from favorite to least favorite. But before we get to your pick, Guido, because it's my appreciation month and it's the end of my month, as we all know, I'm a huge Bravo fan.
I was about to say, are you going to shit talk all the picks that we did for you?
No. Oh. As we...
So wait till the end of this episode.
As we all know, I am a huge Bravo fan. So anything that Andy Cohen touches, in my opinion, is gold. It's gold.
It's good as gold.
It's good as gold. So I would like to know, if you could have sex with someone who's been in the Bravo universe, who would that person be?
Oh, man.
I know it's a lot. Well, I know who you're two going to pick. Same person, probably.
Well, then let him go first, and I'll confirm or deny if it's the same person.
Guido, would you like to go first?
Yes.
Sure.
So you're going to have to help me.
Okay.
Okay. That Gorga lady.
Oh, Melissa Gorga. You do like her.
I like that lady.
She's very J-Lo adjacent.
She's looking good.
Matt?
And she comes to Delaware.
She does. Her daughter goes here. Her daughter goes here. Her daughter goes to UT.
Oh, okay.
She just joined a sorority.
She did.
Also.
Wonderful. Good for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not Melissa Gorga.
Not
her daughter.
Melissa would join, though. She could.
Well. Yeah. Agreed.
Oh, come on, babe. You know who the fuck I would pick.
Ken?
LVP, right?
LVP.
Oh, yeah.
See, I thought you were going to pick LVP, too, so...
And then I would have had to pick... I would have had to pick another one.
Well, I don't know, because you like the fucking blonde with the big tits from Salt Lake City.
He loves Dorinda.
Whitney Rose. Yeah, oh, I love Dorinda.
I like looking at Whitney Rose. And if I had the option, I could fuck Whitney Rose. Oh. But then, you know what?
Opens her mouth, and it's like...
You really hurt my feelings.
You hurt my... I'm in my healing journey, and you hurt my feelings.
Healing.
But
my
then,
healing journey.
But after...
Does she really sound like that?
She does.
But, like, literally, you know, I could be with Lisa, I could be with LVP, and I could just, you know, we could have a very lovely evening, and then the next morning...
You're going to touch her feet.
Then the next morning, she would, like, we would have tea and...
And all the dogs.
And biscuits, and I could
biscuits.
Sit... And I could... Well, she would call them biscuits, you know, because they're cookies. And then I could meet Donut, their new dog.
Their new dog, Donut, yes.
And
yes,
then
yes.
We might go horse riding. I don't know. It just seems like...
It's very idyllic, babe. You've made it lovely. And, Tammy?
Oh, she would fuck Jax.
Ew!
What the fuck?
Ew. Ew.
So,
oh, no. She would probably fuck Joe Gorga.
No, I was actually... my very first thought was
Todd
Eddie.
Oh, Eddie, Tamara Judge's husband.
Tamara Judge's husband, Eddie.
He's cute.
Yeah, and he's...
I can see that.
Yep.
But he's got a fucking rockin' bod.
Yeah, it can definitely see it.
It's either...
And he treated her like a queen.
Yeah, he's
in
a very
good...
In the
first episode, like the first season he was on.
He's a good husband. He's a good hubby.
I was going to say it was probably either... It was either him or it would be the dry cleaner baby man.
Dorinda's boyfriend?
No.
Nah. Or it would also be or like Mauricio.
Mauricio's always a good backup. Momo.
No, you know who else is really hot?
Ken Vanderpump.
Oh, God.
Or Ken Todd.
What is the crazy one? Her mom is like a fairy.
Oh, Lydia.
Lydia's husband.
Yeah, but he was... Ugh, I didn't like them. They were so annoying.
No, I don't... I mean, off of physical looks themselves, okay. Probably, yeah.
The most piggish way possible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you... Wow. I was like, I was going for a whole experience and a connection. No.
Well, if I'm going off like, oh, did you see that Portia's getting a divorce?
Oh, I'm not surprised.
File for divorce, 16 months of marriage.
Again?
Did they do a prenup?
I'm sure they did.
Oh, I hope not for her sake.
So if I'm going off looks alone.
Black Bill Gates.
I know, I was going to say Juan Dixon from Potomac, Robin's husband.
He's very handsome.
Sexy as shit. If I'm going off
he's not your type.
But he's also not her husband.
That doesn't matter all the time.
What is my type? What's my type exactly?
Adrian Brody?
Oh. Well, there's no one like that on Housewives.
Well, there was that one that killed himself.
Oh, did he have a big nose?
What about the Australian bloke?
So I was going to say either Juan Dixon, or if I was going to go with another like Bravo show, I was going to say Captain Jason from Below Deck Down Under. Because
he is yummy.
Yummy and has an accent.
What about the milk guy?
Oh, from Southern Charm?
O'Sheen.
Or from Southern Hospitality? O'Sheen?
O'Sheen.
No, he's a douche.
He likes to cover himself with milk.
But I'm not going to lie. For sheer like personality, and I think he's a good husband, I would also say Margaret Joseph's husband from Real Housewives.
Aw,
Joe. You can't just say Joe because they're all named Joe.
I know.
Joe Benigno. he's so sweet.
Yeah.
And he's handy.
And he's a guy's guy.
I like him.
Whenever I see...
He's always down.
You know who... You know?
And he's a good choice, though. You know who else is not cute?
Nicolas Cage?
Michael Douglas. Speaking of Michael Douglas...
What is wrong with Michael Douglas and...
So many things. Again,
you know, speaking of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Orange County and Los Angeles.
I was saying to him, I was like, I wonder why Guido picked this for me, because you know my hatred of Michael Douglas. You know I cannot.
No, why Guido picked this movie?
Don't be mean.
He said,
I do like fucked up shit.
Tammy, is this a Venice Beach?
Fuck you.
Is this a Venice
Tammy,
Beach?
Tammy, that's not. And yeah, it was. And it was really cool.
Oh my God. I love this movie even more.
So this now. Seems more like it should be a Guido appreciation movie.
What the fuck? Why are you denigrating my dad saying that? you were making it sound like Al's in here. You're like, huh?
Yeah.
This movie's in Venice Beach.
He was.
I love Venice Beach.
He like dropped his popcorn and sat forward and was like, I have been here.
I appreciated a place.
I know exactly
it is known.
Where that street is. I know that pier. The
all
pier.
Right. Lighten up, Tammy.
All right, well, Guido, tell us about your pick
LA.
For Allie.
I love L.A.
Did you say I run L.A.?
I love L.A.
We love it!
So tell us, all right, everyone, be nice.
I love you.
Good evening, cowards.
Oh, Lord.
Cowards?
What? He's a coward in this movie.
So I, listen.
I got the reference.
I thought you might like this movie because it's a little fucked up, it's character driven, great performances, and it's a nice clean, concise ending.
It does end. I'll say that.
Okay.
All right, go for it.
All right, so...
Released
in 1993, I chose Falling Down.
Bill Foster is an ordinary man.
Where are you going?
Going home.
Not this way or not.
Why not?
Metro Rail Construction, that's why not.
Living in the everyday world.
I don't suppose you have a couple of bucks you can give me. It would really help me out. If you give me your address, I'll mail it back, honest.
A patient man.
Can I help you?
Yes, I'd like a ham and cheese womelet, wham fries.
I'm sorry.
We stopped serving breakfast at 11:30.
Who's running out of patience?
And it was directed by Joel Schumacher of Batman Forever fame.
And Batman and Robin?
And Lost Boys.
And yep. And, well, okay, and it stars Michael Douglas in his favorite role of all time as Bill Defense Foster.
Oh, this
is that
his
true?
Favorite
this is
role?
His favorite role. And it
fucking
also features
psycho.
Mr. Duvall and Barbara Hershey
yes.
as Sergeant Duvall. Martin Prendergast and Beth, which is Bill's wife, ex-wife.
Don't forget, we get to announce this is our first third-time Quad Pro Quo alum.
Maybe he's going to get to it.
No, please tell me who it is.
I forget her name.
Rachel Tinkerton.
Thank you.
From Man on Fire last week.
Yes.
Yes, weirdly, she's been in random movies that we have picked. She had an on-fire career in the late 80s and 90s.
On-fire as a permanent tertiary character in everything she's been in.
Hey,
it's a shame
it's
that...
It's paying the bills.
It's a shame that this could have been our, you know, our first, like, actress appreciation month. We could have done... I already forgot her name.
Rachel Tinkerton.
Rachel Tinkerton. We'll do this. We'll do True Lie. Or I mean, Total Recall. We'll do Man on Fire. Is the other
Why
one?
Are you?
She was actually head gaffer number 3 in Empire of the Sun. So,
oh,
you know.
Nice. All right.
Humble beginnings. Matt, what do you think about when I chose this? What do you think?
You know, I...
Yay, nay.
Again, I kind of like Man on Fire. I saw this movie like probably 20 years ago.
Stop saying that.
I had to buy it recently because my brother Taylor wanted to watch it and he uses my Amazon account and it was only available for purchase or rent. And I was just like, ah, fuck it. It was like $5. So I bought it. And then you picked it and I was like,
journey.
I was like, this is way more daunting for you than doing a Jake Gyllenhaal pick and Taylor Swift because... Like Allie said, she hates Michael Douglas.
I appreciate a challenge.
I do.
But I was ready to watch it again.
Allie?
I had never seen this movie before. I had seen parts of it, and I vividly remember the burger scene.
Okay.
Because I also remember...
It's a popular clip.
Thinking that that's where they got the scene from Big Daddy from.
Oh.
When the kid wants breakfast, and he's like, we don't serve breakfast. What do you want? Lasagna. Well, they don't got lasagna here. And he freaks out because they won't serve him breakfast anymore. So I remember thinking that, but like that's the only part I'd ever really seen. I hate Michael Douglas, but I was still excited to watch it because I had heard such good things about it. My dad loves this movie.
Well, there is water.
There is water.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad loves it. So I was excited to watch it.
One of the fun pieces of trivia about this movie is actually cut Samuel Jackson out of that burger scene. So he was in this movie.
I think you're confusing that with Coming to America.
No. Tammy, what do you think?
He also then went and threw batteries into the pier.
We can't use the car battery joke anymore.
So my dad is a big Michael Douglas fan.
Oh, tracks.
That's right. He wants it. Does. He kept recommending this.
It's the game.
It's Michael,
I love the game.
It's Michael Douglas. No, it's Michael Douglas and Albert Brooks. Where like Michael Douglas is like a former CIA agent, and their kids are getting married. And
that's like a newer one.
That's a newer movie.
No. It's like The Wedding or something like that. That's
your dad was just like,
my dad doesn't even know what that is.
He was telling us about it and said that we should do it.
Who was I there?
No, because we were down by the fire pit in your backyard, and you.
Oh, was it the chili cook-off?
It wasn't the chili cook-off. I think it was Vincent's, one of Vincent's birthdays.
Okay.
All right. Is it Hollywood or something?
It has
Sigourney Weaver and Jennifer Love Hewitt in it, I think.
No, that's Heartbreakers.
Heartbreakers?
That's Ray Liotta. That's not Michael Douglas.
Oh, damn. Okay. But my dad's a big Michael Douglas fan, so.
And you are, too.
I haven't seen this particular Michael Douglas movie, but all I'd never seen it, and I looked up looked it up superficially on IMDb and saw the cover, and all I could see was Michael Douglas in a very tight shirt with nipples and was like,
those are that man's nipples.
That is
no stunt nipples here.
Very tight shirt.
You think he was like, my nipples are very sensitive? It was my little girl. My nipples, my shirt. Little girl.
Dude, this is 1993. He's not an old man yet.
He still sounds like this.
All right, well.
Well, he had laryngeal cancer. That's fucked up.
Before this.
You know where he got that from, right?
I don't want to hear that ever again.
Cunnilingus.
Yeah, it's the way he says cunnilingus that I hate it. I hate it.
Why do we say that word again? So much?
Say it. Do it. Do it again.
Cunnilingus.
Yeah, see, disgusting. It's right there. I don't like that at all.
He's so
You definitely
foul.
Shouldn't say it again.
I'm an so Ant-Man, cunnilingus.
So gross.
All right, let's jump into it, shall we?
Yes,
are you going to say buckle up, assholes?
All right, no, just hold on to that fat cock, all right? So it starts, it starts in L.A. traffic where typically hopes and dreams go to die. So there's Foster in his piece of shit car trying his best to keep himself together. So it's hot. It's bumper to bumper. bus full of kids being annoying, dude bros loudly yelling into their cell phones, some woman applying lipstick with a paint roller. It's just awful. And the noise and the angst reach a crescendo, and he simply gets out of his car and walks away with his briefcase full of lunch and socks. And the people behind him are like, "What the fuck? Move your piece of shit!" And he just says, "I'm going home. I'm just gonna go home."
I believe I yelled at this point. LA is disgusting.
It sucks.
This movie makes LA look like the biggest pile of shit I have ever seen.
It sucks. So,
I mean, at least Nightcrawler, it looked nice.
At least Nightcrawler was at night, so you couldn't see the awfulness of this disgusting smog-ridden city.
The smog goes away at night.
Oh, my God.
So, Duvall, who I'm going to try and call Duvall the whole time, because I'm not saying Prendergast.
Not saying Prendergast?
That is a tough name.
Academy Award winning actor Robert Duvall.
I'm not saying that whole thing either.
But also put some respect on his name.
Yes. Duvall is a few cars back, and he's cranking his hog to a Hawaiian Tropic billboard.
Oh, my God. And
he finishes into the cup holder, and then he gets out to see what all the commotion is about.
This does not happen.
No, it doesn't.
What movie did you watch?
It's also not a Hawaiian Tropic billboard. It's a billboard for, like, laundry detergent.
It's Hawaiian Tropics. Do we need to roll the tape?
There's a little... Someone drew a little man.
In her cleavage.
Because it says... It's also, like, a weirdly, I feel like, racist billboard. Because it says something like, white is for laundry, or whites are for laundry, or something like that. Like, it's a bizarre billboard.
But also, I'm saying right now, spoiler alert...
Also, no one was cranking their hog.
Spoiler alert, Robert Duvall is literally the best character in this movie.
Everyone else is in this movie.
Yeah, everyone else is an asshole. Is a degenerate.
That was something else I yelled.
Rachel Ticotin. Oh yes, very good.
We're just gonna call his partner.
His partner.
Okay. So he gets out, sees, you know, why is there so much traffic?
And, I mean, it's his last day of work too, so he may have cranked one out in the car. He doesn't care.
Yeah, he's got a whole handful of knuckle kids.
Dude,
so
it's like usually
in that heat. Ew, it smells.
It comes easier. Ew. It's sweaty. So he helps. He helps an incredibly weak guy and a road pirate
down too.
Move the Foster's car.
Well, no,
out of traffic.
No, he demands the road pirate help him move the car.
Yeah, he can't come otherwise.
Because the road pirate's like, no, we're calling somebody to do it.
You hate cops. You do pick movies about cops quite a bit.
I just want to talk shit. So all right, I gotta have content. Next, we see Beth and her little girl run into their house on Venice Beach to answer the phone because it's the fucking 90s, and there is Bill just breathing heavy on the other line.
Barbara Hershey.
That's right.
The Conjuring. Or no, Insidious. Sorry.
Yes. He hangs up and was going to make another call, but he needs more change. So again, it's the goddamn 90s, payphones and all. So he heads into a Korean-owned bodega to split his dollar.
Oh my God.
Because he needs...
It's also the hottest fucking day of the year, apparently.
It's a bit warm.
It's like the surface Everyone's of sweaty. The fucking sun.
And it's a 90s movie, so like, you know how everyone looked hot, like... They were hot, but they were also hot.
They didn't look sweaty, though, like their shirts and things.
I can't tell from the greased-up bodies of the rollerbladers on Venice Beach wearing Speedos.
No, that white shirt Michael Douglas is wearing.
That's at the end.
There's no titty sweat.
Are you talking about a blue Speedo?
It's aerodynamic.
It's a pink one,
I feel. It breathes.
It is not a boating shirt. It is a tight...
He looks like a Mormon missionary.
He got it from Lockheed Martin because, you know, he's a defense guy. So
were those the glasses that you saw on those twin boys at the Deer Park
The
tavern?
One guy kind of did look like he was wearing those glasses, yeah.
They're back in style.
Yeah, Taylor wears them.
Yeah, he does. God damn it.
What's that movie about? It's got Kevin Bacon in it, and it's down in Alabama about the racist stuff.
Mississippi Burning.
Footloose. I guess it was in Mississippi. Mississippi Burning. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Those glasses.
It's Footloose.
He doesn't wear glasses in Footloose.
Oh.
I think you're thinking of Mississippi Burning? Is he?
Yes, I'm thinking Mississippi Burning.
Can you play the song from Footloose, like, right now?
Can you not the girl's born, by the way?
No, I was thinking about the other one.
What song?
Where they're like training.
Let's
hear for the boys.
Let's hear for the boys. Do you know what song was number one on the charts when I was born?
Let's hear it for the boys.
No. Matt's going to hate it.
Was it One Night in Bangkok?
It was not One Night in Bangkok.
It was Beethoven's number 7 symphony.
No, it was not.
It was Rock Me Amadeus.
No.
Let me guess. It was probably Don't Stop Believing.
No, it was a Van Halen song.
Oh, yeah. 1984. Yeah. It was Jump.
I think it was Jump.
Yeah. Go ahead and jump.
I hate that song.
Oh, hey you, who said that? Baby, how you be?
I'm not a huge fan of that song either. But
you say you don't know. Oh, oh, let's my fuck dad loves up that song. This bodega.
This song is so annoying.
All right, bodega time.
Bodega time.
So the owner says he can't split his dollar. The owner says he's got to buy something in order to get change, which is pretty common nowadays.
But that's
no free change.
But he had the drawer open.
Yeah.
And he fucking shut it.
Yeah, you'll notice it, you know, he's going to be meeting assholes and dealing with assholes. And you'll notice also that if there were no assholes, he would still be alive. So,
or he'd still be a pissed off.
No, he'd still be in traffic, motherfuckers.
He would still be married with and have his beautiful family if there were no assholes.
You mean if he wasn't an asshole?
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking from his perspective.
He's just a product of his environment. You know?
Oh my God.
So he grabs a Coke and it's 85 cents. Foster is enraged doesn't leave enough for his phone call.
Gonna skip right over the racism, which is a thread throughout this entire movie.
Yeah, well, it is the 90s and it is Los Angeles.
I said it when I was watching it because he was downstairs, and like as soon as this scene happened, I literally was doing that thing that you guys do where you're like, hell yeah, brother.
Dib's got your back.
Yeah, it was like
crank,
that.
Crank that hog, bro.
You come to my country and you do this and blah, God. Blah, blah. And then he tries to do the whole like, you're not a veteran. You didn't fight for this country, so you can't use that. And also, this guy's not Vietnamese or
he's Korean. So,
let's calm down here. But land of opportunity, they're allowed to move here. He's a legal citizen, so let's like leave everything about.
Even
it's
shittier,
so
he
annoying.
Was like, you know how much money my country is given to your country?
Ugh, God. With your
he isn't sure either. So
yeah, I feel like he doesn't know what he's talking about.
It was a good scene to really set up how much of a prick we're dealing with.
It was at least
he's on the edge.
It was at least 85 cents.
Foster's, you know, he's making fun of his accent because, you know, he is butchering the English language. And he tells Foster to leave. So the owner grabs a bat and Foster tackles him to grab it, looking like a deranged Mormon with his black shoes, his black pants, and his white socks. And then he proceeds to ask how much other things are in the store. And if he thinks they're too high, he smashes it. Big mess.
Yeah.
He steals his baseball bat.
Yep. So he pays for his Coke, 50 cents, and then he leaves with his new bat.
A phone call.
Yeah, I do like that guy what's his name? Mr. Lee? Yeah.
He's in a lot of Joel Schumacher.
Yeah, he's because mm-hmm. you see him in both Batman Forever. You see him in Batman and Robin. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think he's in The Lost Boys, but.
No, he was the saxophone guy.
No, he's not.
I still believe.
He's not the saxophone player.
back at the precinct, Duvall is catching some shit for his last day at work. His fellow cops are all different flavors of assholes, go figure. Duvall's wife calls and reveals herself to be a bit of a lunatic.
She's a piece of work.
She's crazy. She's fucking crazy.
Yeah. She is the worst. Well,
she's almost like PTSD.
What we get in this movie that we didn't get in Tammy's pick is a backstory of why she's like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is their child died.
Just a little sprinkle of origin. So
there was a murder on the crib floor.
Yep. He talks her off the ledge. Oh. He sings her a song. And at this time, at this very moment, Foster is walking through the ghetto and he finds a place to rest and repair the hole in his shoe. As you can see, he's in black socks now. They were in the briefcase. He's been there for 2 minutes before some gangbangers hassle him about being on their turf. So he tries to leave politely, but the gangsters are real assholes, so they threaten him with a knife. And that's when Foster hits one of them in the face with a bat and breaks the other's arm and chases them away.
Dude, he...
Don't fuck with him. He was just moving on. You didn't let him go. And then what happened?
I'd also like to point out something I just realized about Robert Duvall's the daughter that died in the movie. They show a picture of her and she's like, how old would you say in that picture? like 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's definitely older than 2. Yeah, she's not 2.
And then later, they say she died of SIDS, which normally happens in the first 2 years of the
but even... Yeah. Well, we can wait till we get to that, but even at that time, Duvall's like, which is kind of weird, because she was big. She was 2.
Not See? 2. Not 2.
Well, the big one ate the little one.
No.
All right, so...
Better not kill
his wife reminds me of someone that would be a hoarder.
Yes. Spot on, Tammy.
Yep. Except she hoards cats in the freezer.
I'm almost positive she was also like a really famous like actress in like the 50s or something like that.
I only like cats. I don't have to feed.
She's so crazy.
She's still alive, too.
Back at the precinct, the Korean bodega owner comes in to make a statement, and Duvall is surprised to hear that a white guy wearing office attire busted up a store and then paid for his drink.
What? A white shirt?
Now, the gangbangers got some friends and a gym bag full of poverty guns, and they're driving around looking for Foster. We're at another 90s payphone. Foster calls his ex-wife and actually talks to her this time. He tells her that he's coming home to give his daughter a birthday present. And Beth says he isn't welcome there anymore on account of the restraining order and all.
And the divorce.
On account of you being a fucking psycho.
So... He never touched her yet. So she hangs up and calls the cops because she's a frightened woman. So
a normal response to
yes.
this.
Yes. Totally. And we're not arguing that at all. So the gangbangers see Foster on that payphone, and they get super hyped for the drive-by shooting.
They miss everyone.
They open fire with Uzis, Tech-9s, and Mac-10s, which is good because they all use 9mm. They saved on ammo.
The accuracy of a fucking stormtrooper. That's right. On right
spraying
here.
Bullets wildly as Foster
They shoot
at Foster.
Everyone but him.
They shoot a woman yep. in the butt.
They yeah. hit They hit every innocent bystander shoot but like, the one they were aiming for.
My butt!
She's pushing a stroller and they shoot her in the ass.
They fucking gumped her, dude, right there on the street.
They gumped her.
Gumped.
I got shot in the buttocks.
So it appears that the driver's high as a kite. On crack, most like, but definitely adrenaline. And he crashes the car down the street. Foster saunters. He calmly walks down the street to the crash and grabs one of the guns and he's like, you missed me. Watch
you
this.
You missed me.
And he shoots one of the surviving gang members in the leg and he's like, see? It's not that hard.
Well, first
Dude,
he...
Dude, the calmness is really annoying.
First he shoots it and he misses him. He's like, I missed too.
That's and practice.
Then, you know what you shouldn't miss? One of the other amazing podcasts that are part of the Deluxe Edition Network. We'll be right back.
In a world where podcasts have become bland and stale, one podcast dares to stand above. Barrel Age Flicks Podcast.
We're reviewing drinks,
breaking down movies, busting each other's balls,
and we're big in Hong Kong.
Barrel Age Flicks Season 4. It's in the bottle.
Yeah, yo! Available on Spotify, Apple Music, Audible, iHeartRadio, TikTok, YouTube, Patreon, and OnlyFans.
And we're back.
Oh, see? That's a sense of humor. Okay, so the cops show up to question Beth, and they treat her like shit and make her feel ridiculous because they're pieces
she's
of
just,
shit.
She's
a scared single mom.
She's a hysterical woman.
Yeah, I did not like
even
that
the
at all.
Woman cop, when they call her back.
They gaslight her.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Like, they straight up so like, so he's
the
never-
The woman cop was even worse.
You. Yeah.
No. The woman cop was... The woman cop, I can imagine being a woman cop in the early 90s in LA was probably not a cakewalk. But the men are just like... I feel like they are semi-nice. And they do stay for quite a while, which
yeah.
they don't need to do. But the whole, like, so he's never hit you?
Yeah.
So why the fuck am I here?
They like, make her say it out loud.
They do.
That's the thing.
They
I mean,
do. Back then, there was no... There was physical abuse and that was it. There wasn't any, like... Mental, emotional, yeah. like psychological.
That
abuse.
Shit
like,
would that, not fly today.
That was not a thing. That was not a thing of like.
Yeah, back
well,
even
it,
like when we meet them,
it still does fly today. To be honest,
it does. Even
I mean,
when we meet the mother later, like you can tell how like fucking abused that woman is mm-hmm. by but, her own son.
Yeah, because like back then, literally, we only had what like one or two seasons of regular Law and Order, so we haven't got. We haven't gotten to SVU or Criminal Intent.
Very
yet.
True. And
so we haven't gotten to the, you know, the...
That's the whole reason we know about those things is because of Mariska Hargitay and Ice-T.
Later,
Later,
Foster is at a park where people are dying of AIDS around children playing.
Oh my God!
It's true though. One guy had a sign
that said that.
What?
Yeah. He goes, yeah, please help me, I'm dying of AIDS.
It's not like I'm reading too far into this.
There was a guy that was on the ground saying like...
The guy that came up to him and...
No, not that guy.
Same park.
It was just there, you know...
Was this the park from Twin Sitters?
This is right before the shotgun-wielding trench coat stole two twin children.
Trench coat mafia opened fire.
We see a homeless man eating a sandwich, and he asks Foster for money for gas, and Foster asks him for his driver's license, and then the bum asks for money because he hasn't eaten in a week, forgetting about the sandwich in his hand. Next, the bum starts to make demands, and Foster just gives him his briefcase.
He says he's a vet.
Yeah, well, I mean, the guy's full of fucking shit, dude.
Of course
he is.
He's
a scumbag. He'd be better off hit by a bus.
This is the only time that I actually agree with Michael Douglas in this movie.
Yeah, he should be a bloodstain in the street.
I have another time.
Foster just gives him his briefcase containing his lunch and his socks.
It's really funny.
One of the white socks.
I got one.
An apple, a sandwich.
It's probably so warm and gross.
Yeah, and it's covered in like sweaty white tube socks from the first scene.
And it's probably made with
melted cheese.
And like mayonnaise.
Yeah, but his mommy made that for him. All right, so.
Where did he eat his lunch?
One of the surviving gang members is being questioned at the precinct, and no one but Duvall believes her that the drive-by was all by a mysterious white man with a tie. Duvall is starting to connect the dots. Foster is hungry, so he goes to a burger joint to get a breakfast sandwich.
This is my favorite scene.
This is pretty much everyone's favorite scene of this movie.
It's fucking amazing.
It's very relatable.
It's the most famous.
It's a shame that they wasted Samuel Jackson.
It's
you know what
not
I mean?
This movie.
Samuel Jackson was not in this. Eddie Murphy, Samuel Jackson was left
on the editing room floor. Nope. Yes.
No.
It's not McDowell's. He doesn't go to McDowell's. Yes. This is not Coming to America.
I don't know. I don't know what movie you watched, but okay. Never mind. This is my interpretation.
Oh, wait. Oh, sorry.
This is my interpretation okay. sorry. Of the
That's
movie.
Just like your opinion, man.
No, I forgot. Guido probably bought like the Criterion collection that Joel Schumacher wiped his ass
this
with.
It's a deleted scene.
And then there's a deleted scene where Samuel L. Jackson and Batman and the saxophone guy from The Lost Boys are all there.
Can you believe this movie? Yeah.
See, only the privileged know.
This movie came out a year before Pulp Fiction.
I believe it. Because it's the 90s. So they stopped serving breakfast 3 minutes ago. Two minutes.
Which everyone can relate to.
Yep.
Getting to McDonald's right after they switch the breakfast signs to lunch signs.
Well,
I mean, I can't ever order breakfast.
And they're criminally strict about it.
You never order breakfast because it was never available when you went there.
You couldn't make this movie today because they serve breakfast all day now.
It's not a single $40 hand cart.
Even
was lost.
Wendy's
That's
has
what people
breakfast
want.
Now.
He's enraged again. The cashier and the manager tell him he has to order something off the lunch menu. He doesn't want lunch. He wants breakfast. So he takes a gun out and he fires a few shots into the ceiling, scaring everybody because he has very poor trigger discipline. And then he changes his mind and he wants the manager to get him a burger. And then he opens it up and what's he do? He fucking complains about why it doesn't look like it does in the commercial or the menu. It's bullshit.
That burger did look pretty terrible. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
but also,
they did know, like...
I don't know if it was part of her character or if the woman who was working behind the counter couldn't not laugh because every time they panned to her, she was like... like giggling. And I was like, was she trying to...
Have you worked retail before?
To not laugh?
Because you can't do it sober.
I know.
That young lady was stoned.
Just couldn't, and that guy, that
she's
manager
on the fucking giggle
is,
bush.
Is a guy. That manager with the
yeah, he's that guy.
Yeah,
he's the guy from Seinfeld with the gum.
Yeah, he is
the gum with the bad teeth.
He's also in Silence of the Lambs. He's one of the crazy people in prison.
Bug, no, the bug guys.
No, he's not a bug guy. He is.
He's one of the cops.
He's like Sergeant Tate.
Sergeant Tate. In the end, that is him. All right. Sorry, Ritter.
All good. So Foster, he buys a unicorn for his daughter, and the cops leave Beth because they think she's full of shit. And Foster tries to call Beth again, but she doesn't pick up.
Beth, I hear
some asshole gives him some shit.
about being on the phone too long. You see, it's the 90s.
This is where I was this dude, I literally yelled out. I was upstairs. He was downstairs. I literally yelled out. When this guy was talking to him, I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you, douchebag? He wasn't even on the phone that long. I was like, if he shoots this guy, I will be like,
yeah,
that guy deserved it. Everyone in this movie is an asshole. And everyone all terrible. In this movie is an asshole.
Except for Duvall.
Literally.
And Rachel Tinkerton.
She's all right.
Yeah, literally in like any other movie where you see people in payphones and they get upset about somebody taking too long, the guy usually bangs on
the payphone. He wasn't on the phone that long.
No.
It clicked. It was busy. He hung up. He left. It wasn't like he put more money in.
Cocaine makes you impatient.
Just so you know, man. Other people are trying to use a phone. I would have shot that guy, too.
Absolutely.
Like, I would have shot him.
Rightfully, Foster shoots the payphone with an Uzi, says it's out of order, because fuck that guy, that's why.
Fuck him.
Foster finds himself in an army surplus store to get new boots, and the owner is a devout,
is a
violent,
up
homophobic,
asshole.
Anti-Semitic racist, and he's been listening to the police scanner all day to stay aroused.
Dude, he sees him walk in, and it's like six. It's six to midnight.
He's chubbed up.
Chubbed up. For someone who hates...
Dude, those loads are bullets
now. I'm not
going to
use the
words
that he used because it's disgusting. But for someone who hates people of the LGBTQ+ community, this guy has a hard-on for Michael Douglas.
Another man.
Yeah.
This guy. He sees Foster as a vigilante hero as the cops are actively looking for him. And the owner harasses some gays until they leave. Next, Duvall's partner, see, that's the lady. She walks in to question the piece of shit owner. He closes a curtain on Foster so he's not seen and tells the cop that he hasn't seen who she's been looking for. And then he starts to be a chauvinistic pig until she leaves.
Why aren't you called offer S's?
So, skinhead Porky Pig wants to show off his Zyklon B canisters, his Nazi porn, and his rocket launchers. He says the N-word a bunch, and then he and Foster have a philosophical disagreement. So, let's see here. Foster basically stabs him in the neck and then shoots him in front of Nazi Santa. Duvall admits to his partner that he's retiring because his wife is crazy, and she agrees to go after Foster with him. Foster tells Beth he's on his way to our house, and he explains that he's past the point of no return, and there's no putting the monkey back in the bottle, and everyone is just going to have to wait until I pop out. You know,
yeah,
in certain countries, it's still legal to kill your wife. So Duvall goes to the Korean bodega for some clues, and he sees how close it is to the highway where he and Foster started that day.
Three friends!
No, there's this point. It's just one little tiny little half second where he pokes his head through like bushes and goes, ah!
Yeah.
He's so excited because he figured it out.
He's doing police stuff for the first time ever.
His face is way too excited for the fact that they are chasing after somebody who is like mowing down people.
Like, he's like, hey, this is a clue.
Didn't they say he's been doing traffic copping for a long time? Or like desk job?
Burglary.
Yeah, he's robbery, but he's also become a desk jockey because at one point his wife, after their
10-year-old child died of SIDS.
After their 10-2-year-old died of SIDS. Their 25 or 64 kid died of SIDS.
Yeah.
She went crazy. I
but
I
if you're
that.
Retiring, he's been on the desk for decades.
Yeah, but his wife won't unlock his dick cage unless he solves a case.
They want to retire to Lake Havasu.
He's not
yes,
getting...
Lake Havasu, the puddle.
He's technically retiring early because, remember, his boss is like, well, you're retiring early,
your
so you're not getting your full pension. But
they have to retire to Lake Havasu, the London of the Southwest.
But yeah, he's
Arizona.
So Beth calls the cops again, and they call her a boy that called Wolf. More traffic. Foster is just punching drivers in the face at this point. He gets to where the construction is, and a construction worker starts mouthing off and tells Foster to go fuck himself. So Foster flashes his gun in his waistband and gets the guy to admit that there actually isn't anything wrong with the street. Foster whips out his new rocket launcher.
I did kind of agree with him at this point,
yep,
too.
And thank God that there's a 9-year-old child there so that he can show Foster how to use his rocket launcher.
I said this is Guido as a child.
He knew everything about
it. Because literally, I feel this way right now with the
construction on the
with the construction on our 95 exit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So Foster fucks up and sends a rocket into an underground pipe, causing an explosion under a large crane 300 yards away, which was awesome. No one chose a movie that had rocket explosions in them. Just saying, I did. So Duvall and
Tammy's had explosions in it. I guess not rocket explosions, right? Butt plug explosions.
Duvall and his partner go question Foster's mom to get the skinny on his kid and his ex-wife. At the same time, Foster pops into a private golf course for a hike. Two rich old golfers are very agitated by the man from a clearly lower tax bracket just walking in the middle of the fairway. So one of the golfers fires a ball at Foster, making him duck for cover. And Foster gets up and shoots the golf cart with a shotgun, simultaneously sending the golf cart down the hill into the water hazard and the mouthy old man into cardiac arrest. The dying
then again,
man.
I also agree with this part too.
Yeah, fuck that guy, dude. The dying man pleads for his pills that are in the golf cart that are
even though he was clearly trespassing.
Yep, and
he
and,
decides that rules don't apply to him anymore.
Oh yeah, and Foster says that's a shame. Now you're gonna die with that stupid little hat on.
That's a great line.
It's so funny.
Real good. Real good.
Your golf cart's.
I feel like they missed out
on
casting the guy from Caddyshack in this movie, though. I will say that.
Duvall and his partner figure out that Foster has nothing to lose and is a broken man made crazy by society. So the cops leave Beth again because she's just a dumb, lying woman scared for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, hysterical bitch.
Stupid. Okay, so Foster calls Beth. And she realizes how close she is, so she takes her kid out onto the Venice Beach pier. This is a pro-gamer move, see, because there's only one way off the pier.
Have you been to this pier, Guido?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I have fished off this pier.
I told you.
Foster is
Could
in the house
now. Could you eat
the
fish then?
Yes, because they said you're not supposed to eat the fish.
It depends on what you're catching. If you have something with like a real strong bloodline, it's going to have more mercury in it than like a flatter, like fluke-like fish.
Do people still dress in neon Speedos on rollerblades?
Yeah, we just watched Barbie, didn't we?
That's true.
Foster's in the house. He's watching old home movies of his kid.
And also how much of an asshole he
turns
was
out,
back
you
then,
know,
too.
Historically, he's been an aggressive asshole his whole life. Duvall leaves to solve the case, but not before he yells at his crazy wife, "Leave the skin on the chicken, Amanda." He punches the douche cop on his way out.
Good. And that cake is huge.
Oh, yeah. That cake was huge.
It needed to be landed on. You know what I mean?
They could have fit his whole name.
Yeah, they could have fit his whole name.
They chose not to because they're assholes. Foster realizes that Beth and his child are probably on the pier just as Duvall and his partner show up. So Foster shoots the partner, runs to the pier. Duvall grabs her gun and gives chase. Foster smashes his mouth into his ex-wife's mouth and says, "Till death do us part."
Disgusting.
Remember?
Disgusting.
That's not kissing. It's like a mashing of mouths.
It was awful.
It was like the opposite of when Jude Law put his hands on Cameron Diaz's.
It was the opposite of that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And brought her in.
So the opposite.
Even I was like, no.
Plus the sweat.
No.
And
it's hot.
It's hot.
So sweaty.
Oh, no, he wasn't cranking his hog, so he wouldn't have,
No, but the
like,
sweat
cum,
helps.
He wouldn't have cum hands.
At a certain point. There's no chafing if you're still sweating.
There's no time
for
that.
No time for
in
cum.
In Michael Douglas's life.
No. Just gotta pull
I
fast.
Don't know. That Xylon can had had a hole in it, so
Ew.
He might have used that.
I just had the thought of dick cancer. Okay, so...
Oh, my God.
Duvall shows up and tells a story about his dead daughter. And then he acknowledges how society has treated Foster poorly.
I thought it was great how he was just able to sneak in there.
Oh, he was eating popcorn.
He was just eating popcorn.
He was like
Joe Cool, man.
He was Duvall like, Ninja.
He was yes.
Like, yeah, he was like Agent 47, you know, like fucking Hitman. Yeah. He just sneaks in. He's just like...
I love how he's also like, I'm having a conversation with my family. It's private. You're on a pier, you fucker.
Yeah. Duvall definitely doesn't have flat feet, you know?
Ugh.
You're on a pier. You've just scared everyone else off with your guns.
Except for that guy.
I can't look at any more hard bodies.
He winks at Beth And she kicks Foster's gun into the ocean.
He also whips his vest out or his jacket out to her to show that he's packing.
Yeah, he shows like he means business.
He's there to help.
So he winks at her. Beth kicks Foster's gun into the ocean. Sad 1911 noises. Duvall has his gun on Foster as Foster explains he doesn't want to watch his girl grow up behind bars, and she won't get life insurance money if he's alive. So he quickly draws the water gun in his pocket and squirts Duvall in the face.
Suicide by cop.
And Duvall shoots him in the sternum, center mass, real nice. Foster sleeps with the fishes.
Literally falls into the pier.
That's right.
Does he get that rash that Robert Duvall said you would get if you swim in the water? Do we know?
Well, dead men don't care about rashes.
Yeah, probably not.
And at the end, Duvall tells his captain to go fuck himself. He tells Beth to inform her...
Pro-gamer move right there.
Yeah, he tells Beth to inform the little girl that her dad is dead, like, maybe, you know, after her
tomorrow.
Birthday party. Tomorrow would be good.
Oh, hey, by the way, sweetheart, your dad's dead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's just go on with our normal day.
Well, because all the friends were there.
It was a lot. Yeah, and they don't understand. She doesn't know what happened.
Yeah, because they ran away.
Again, she's a woman, given a younger one, but... They're not that bright in this movie.
I have problems with this scene.
So I thought about, and I feel bad like saying this because it's like kind of a sad thing, but like the
Patton Oswalt.
He talks about in one of his comedy sketches about the day his wife died. He woke up. He found out because she didn't die at home. I think she was like on the road or something like that or whatever. And so he had already taken his daughter to school and he found out his wife died. And so he literally called the school and said and told the school and they said, let her go through the day because you don't want her to remember this day and associate it with school on the day that and have her hate school and have her think I was in school when my mom died and my dad had to come get me and like all this stuff. So he let her go through the entire day of school and then came and picked her up and told her. And that was like what the principal told him to do. And he.
That's a smart play. And you're not in your right mind. So you need a little direction sometimes. Like, hey, maybe
and so, like, she,
give her a heads up
what
tomorrow.
They're saying is like she doesn't want to associate her birthday with the day her father was shot by the police. So let her have her birthday and have a fun day. And then tomorrow talk about how your daddy is dead. Yeah. And also how he was a psycho and wanted to kill you.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't know that. You know, he never touched her, so
he would have taken that entire family down with him.
Look, if anybody kissed anybody like that, right to the firing squad.
He would have killed all of them.
I mean, yeah, we've seen it before where people take out their whole family and then themselves.
Chris Benoit.
Literally, Robert Duvall hit the nail on the head with the whole, like, no, you knew what you were going to do. You're going to kill your family.
Yeah.
And then you were going to go and you were going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Because you can't go back.
He wasn't going to let anyone out of there. That's how they think. He's that far gone that he's like,
what's the point of no return? He said it himself.
Yep.
They won't have a life without me, so we should all die together. That's in his mind. He's not thinking like, I'm not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't have them, no one can.
Exactly. They're not going to have a happy life without me in it. So we should all die together.
Even after watching them home videos and seeing
how
much of a fucker he was the whole time.
He doesn't see that while he's watching the videos, though. He just sees them all together.
He doesn't see it. Absolutely not.
He doesn't see while he is wearing glasses.
He sees the wife being a bitch to him. Like,
yeah. Just put the kid back on the rocking
horse.
I'm just
trying to put the kid on the horse I bought her, weirdo. And she doesn't want to go on it. God, this woman's such a bitch. Like, she's being a bitch. Like, that's all he sees. He doesn't see the fact that, like,
well, she is
a psycho.
She is Italian. We all know how Italian women are.
Very spicy.
This movie is the most racially stereotypical. What is that one line they said? They're like, oh, she lives in Venice. I mean, that's where Italian people move. What the fuck does that mean?
I'm from there. No idea.
That's why he likes it so much.
I mean, yeah, I don't get that either.
It makes sense.
Because technically that house is their old house.
I know,
like, but that's their house. That's where Michael Douglas used to live.
But just a random comment of like, what? Where does she live? Venice Beach? I mean, she's Italian. So, okay, she would live in Venice.
You know
Beach.
That little cottage she's in with the white picket fence?
It's so cute.
Do you know how much that house would be right now?
Well, I watched Million Dollar Listing, so yes.
Okay, what
I
do you think? So it's Venice Beach, and you see it's not even at like, what is it?
It's on the boardwalk.
300 feet?
It's on the boardwalk.
It's on the boardwalk.
Yeah. Crazy.
That's a $10 million house.
Probably, yeah.
Is it near the La Brea Tar Pits?
No, bitch.
That's not near Venice Beach.
Don't do this.
Okay? I know where the La Brea Tar Pits are.
A special
not
time
near
I
Venice
shared
Beach
with
anyway.
You. Okay.
It's probably on the Pacific Coast Highway that Kate Winslet drove on to get to that house that's out technically in Malibu. Which
I love
is
the La Brea Tar Pits, you asshole.
I
shared
love
my
the La Brea
place with
Tar Pits too. Like, especially when, you know.
In
when,
Last Action Hero?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
That's where Louis the Fart.
Well, Louis the Fart.
Well, thanks, Guido. I
thought you would like it because, again, it's great performances, character driven. Yes, it is Michael Douglas, but I wanted to convince you that like he could do a good thing once, and it's a nice tight movie. So
you should have shown her Ant-Man.
No, you know what you should have picked?
The Jewel game? Of the Nile?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Oh, it's such a good one.
You should have picked Jewel. I've Jewel never seen Nile's that all great. The way through. You should
oh,
have picked
no
Jewel
way.
Of the Nile. Yeah. Yeah,
I love that.
I guarantee I would have liked that more, probably.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's okay.
Probably.
Well,
okay.
It's also a love story.
And Danny DeVito. Wait, is Jewel of the Nile the first one or the second one?
This is the second one.
Oh, no. You should have picked
Romancing
the Stone.
I've
never seen Romancing
one.
The Stone.
Did I enjoy this movie? You know, I'm not going to lie. This movie is a lot like how I felt about Boondock Saints 20 years ago, you know, when I was like in my teens, early 20s. I thought Boondock Saints was amazing. And now I watch it now and I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking? Oh my God, this movie's kind of trash. I kind of feel the same way about this movie. Like, I used to watch it and be like, yeah, Michael Douglas, you're so edgy. And yes, everything is fucked. It's a Limp Bizkit song. Everything sucks. Everything is fucked. But no, then I'm watching it today and I'm just like, you know, Robert Duvall is the only person in this movie that makes any sense and there's anything good about this movie.
Other than Rachel Ticketon.
And I'm just like, yeah, everything sucks, but that doesn't give you the right to go and kill people. And then I was saying again, I'm like, this is a movie where, like, now on the internet, there's, like, this meme going around, like, if you idolize this movie character, you miss the whole point of the movie. So if you idolize Michael Douglas's character, you missed it. And now, thank God for the internet, because at least these assholes are on the internet bitching about how McDonald's used to only serve breakfast at certain times and how stuff used to be better according to them, and they're not shooting people. It's not my favorite Joel Schumacher movie. It's not my least favorite Joel Schumacher movie. I'm sorry, I'm going to fail it.
Surprising. Tammy, how'd you feel?
So in the middle of the movie, we were watching and I said, so if I left you and took our children, this is how you'd be. And
yeah.
Guido said, probably.
I'll find you.
I'm incredibly uncomfortable in this room right now.
I'll find you.
I'm serious.
I'll find you.
The way that Guido acts on his 1.3 mile commute to work is consistent with the way that Michael Douglas responds in this movie.
I don't really think Guido has like deep mental health issues, which I do think Michael Douglas has in this movie.
The way that Guido responds to the Subaru drivers.
Why do you hate lesbians?
Is consistent with
U-Hauls.
Michael Douglas in this movie.
Okay.
All right. Well,
so I'm really thankful that Guido is on my side.
But also, Tammy, if necessary, I will be the Robert Duvall character
that
comes and eats popcorn and saves you.
Thank you, neighbor. See, everybody's on my side.
You can't have any of my guns.
Steven will be my lawyer also.
Oh. I'll be your Rachel Ticketon.
Well, it's never going to happen. So.
That's true.
Of course, yeah.
I would really hope not.
Totally hypothetical.
I mean, the day it does, the day I buy an RPG. So.
Oh, my God.
And a torpedo.
And Vincent's going to be the little kid next to you, like, you got to open it up
first,
Dad.
I mean, you and the kids, the only thing keeping me from being a super villain. So.
Oh, my gosh. So pass or fail, Tam?
So I'm going to pass it. It was entertaining. And I liked the McDonald's, the burger joint scene.
What was it called? Whammy Burger?
Whammy Burger or something.
Yeah, that was a good scene. So,
it was
yeah.
better in Big Daddy.
All right, Ellie, how much did you hate it?
Oh, okay. So unlike Matt, I never thought Boondock Saints was good.
Same.
Wow, so much better than me.
So here's the thing. I don't.
Shut up. You love Boondock Saints 2. Don't you fucking sit over there and.
I only like Boondock Saints 1. The second one was really bad.
You got so excited for that second one, though, when it came out.
I wanted it to be good.
He's like, yeah, because we need more of these characters. We need a continuation of this story.
It wasn't more of the same.
Okay, so here's the thing. It made me want to literally blow up Los Angeles because it looks like a cesspool. I've been to Los Angeles, but I've also only ever really been to, like, West Hollywood. So I've been to, like, Vanderpump Rules area, basically.
Oh, well, that's not.
It looks like a cesspool. Everyone sucks.
Is it like Nightcrawler era? Like, we talked about it with Nightcrawler.
No, but at least Nightcrawler takes place at night, so it doesn't look as disgusting.
I like LA movies.
Okay, you do. I like Robert Duvall. I'm not a fan of, I've never been a fan of Michael Douglas, but I think he was excellent in this movie. I have a really hard time with the language in it. I know it's 1993, so using
the hard F's.
The hard F's and the hard N's and the hard K's is a...
Well, I mean, it was all by one guy.
I know, but it's just
one character
like...
that there are different degrees of distaste. Like, you see, he's a vigilante actually acting on these things, right?
I know.
He's still a piece of shit.
But, like, I don't understand. Like, I feel like it's like they brought that character in just to be like, see, he's not that bad. He's not a racist, homophobic
Nazi.
Yeah. But he's still killing people. Like, I don't know.
And pissed off at people that are different from him.
Nothing wrong with being xenophobic.
Yeah. I also towards the end was like, I'm a privileged white man. My life is so hard. Like, it's hard for me to feel bad for a person like this. Like, he even says it in the end, I'm overeducated and I'm smart. Blah, blah, blah. They lied to me. It's plastic surgeons get all the money. Well, plastic surgeons are doctors. They go to school for a really long time and people pay them a lot of money. So you weren't lied to. You just picked the wrong profession. That's not anyone else's fault. But I will say, like last episode, I feel like talking about it has made me like it more.
Love when that happens.
So I'm going to pass it, but by the skin of its teeth.
Sweet. Take it.
Yay.
Excellent.
Wow. That totally is just a different thing from how...
Well, I'm allowed to change my mind.
That is true.
It is a womanly prerogative. Isn't
literally, that? You were like yelling about how...
I was going to fail both of your movies.
You were,
I really was.
You were yelling about how disappointed you were in all of us for our picks for you.
I actually felt the same thing about my month.
That's what I said. I said the same thing. I was like, just the way Tammy felt disappointed, I kind of feel like... I feel like you guys don't know who I am. Why are you picking these movies for me? I feel like this month was like the silliest fucking movies, me and Matt, and then you guys picked these like sad,
they were
depressing
pretty tense.
Nail biters. Yeah. Like, Jesus. But that's fine.
Well, the afterthought did have me questioning my pick.
That's okay. All right. Well, now we are going to rank all four movies from favorite to least favorite or least favorite, however you want to go. So I did High Spirits.
I did Burn After Reading.
I did Man on Fire.
I did Falling Down.
Well, I know you just did it, but still, you have to say it. Who would like to go first? I'm going to go last, because that's my minute.
I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead.
Falling Down.
Is that your first choice?
Yes, okay. First to last. Falling Down.
Okay.
And then Burn After Reading.
Oh.
Okay.
And then Man on Fire. And then the...
Spooky Ghost.
The Spooky...
Spooky Loads.
As always, just to contradict my... co-host next to me, I will go least favorite to favorite first.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to go...
Oh, shit. One moment.
She can't do two things at once.
What?
She's getting it right.
Oh, she was labeling them differently. Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Please
go
continue.
Ahead,
least favorite, Falling Down. Third least favorite, Spooky Ghost. Number two... Denzel by the skin of his teeth. And then number one, of course, is Burn After Reading.
Okay. I'm going to go number one, Burn After Reading. Number two, Man on Fire. Number three, Falling Down. Number four, High Spirits. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's only like fun.
It was so
comedy of the
fucking
month.
Silly.
I know.
I like,
why can't we just be silly?
Right. I like Peter O'Toole more than I like Michael Douglas.
That's true. So I'm going to go favorite Man on Fire. Okay. Sorry. Falling Down, Burn After Reading, High Spirits. Woo! And the winner of Alley Appreciation Month is...
Burn After Reading.
I'm better than ever. I'm back, you fuckers.
Oh,
I'm better
been waiting.
Back, you fuckers.
All right. Not worth it.
Congratulations, Matt.
Ain't nothing wrong with the Coen brothers. The soft pick.
All right.
Well, Allie, quid pro quo.
Okay, so we will be starting April, which is no longer Allie Appreciation Month, but it is an appreciation month for someone else in the podcast, and that is Guido.
Buckle Yay! Up, assholes.
Guido, when is your birthday?
I was born on April 1st.
April Fool's Day.
I'm the biggest fool.
It's his leveling up day.
And so... Each of us will be tasked with picking a movie that we think Guido is going to like. Extra points if you pick a movie he's never seen.
There's no extra points.
No, there's not.
These
points.
But that's in the spirit.
It's just, you know, I'm what I'm saying.
It and the values are doubled.
Yeah.
There you go.
Like, I'm literally.
The points don't matter. And the values are doubled.
I've literally been like just sitting there like, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Because you guys always want to say, oh, well, Ellie and Matt have seen so many movies. So is this asshole.
Yes.
I've seen quite
and worse ones.
And plus, he watches a lot of shit. He always loves
a lot of shit.
He always loves watching movies that have Kevin Hart in
it. I love bad movies.
You do. All right. So my movie came out in 1999. It was directed by Spike Lee, and it stars John Leguizamo, Adrian Brody, and Mira Sorvino. We are going to be talking about Summer of Sam.
A Spike Lee joint.
Probably my favorite Spike Lee movie, actually.
This is probably our first Spike Lee joint.
I think so. So I think you have to rent...
I met him.
You've talked about it on an episode before, yeah. I think you have to
rent... We're best friends.
You have to rent or buy Summer of Sam. I have it on VHS.
Oh, boy.
I have a VHS player.
Well, it's down at my parents' beach house, though. I'd have to go get it.
Oh, they'll be down there next weekend.
I could ask them to bring it up, yeah. So I think you have to rent or buy it because I don't think it's available anywhere. It says it's available for $3.99 on Prime Video.
Oh, worth it.
So we are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we are part of the Deluxe Edition Network. You can learn more about us and the other podcasts on the network at deluxeeditionnetwork.com. Featured podcasts for the month of March are...
Beard Laws, Bacon Is My Pod, and... I Need Some Creep.
I feel like you sound more like the Joker right now, but that's okay.
I like cunnilingus.
Ew.
Michael's Douglas.
Ew.
That's what it's
Michael's
called.
Michael's Douglas as an ass.
So you can suggest a theme month. I mean, we are pretty booked up for the whole year, but if you suggest a really good one, we might squeeze it in. You can suggest one by...
Would love if someone suggests a Kathy Bates month.
Or like a Steve Guttenberg month. Love that.
Disgusting.
I'm a Big Noses month.
Oh, my. I'm already doing an Adrian Brody month.
Oh,
when?
Yeah, because he only did.
No, Adrian Brody pick.
He's only done one movie. You're right. Oh, my God.
The penis?
Oh, that's true. I could do that Superman movie.
Superman movie?
The one where, about the original Superman who got murdered. Again, you can suggest a theme month by messaging us on social media or on our website. And please like and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And until April, Guido Appreciation Month, thank you for listening.
I'm better than ever.
Oh, my God.
Goodbye. You fuckers. I'm better.